your reaction to this plea deal?
Well, I'm not terribly surprised based on the information, not only that was in the media, but also in my consulting with the attorneys for the Jones family and their civil case, and the information that I saw there. I'm not an attorney, but quite frankly, I really didn't see how they could have avoided a guilty verdict in this case based on what I saw.
Let's back up again. You said you were a consultant for the family in this case? Is that what you just
said? For their legal counsel, for Harris Penn Lowry. I was brought in as an expert consultant in the preparation of that civil case.
And what kind of evidence did you see?
I will be careful based on confidentiality discussions,
sure.
But after looking at copies of emails that were going back and forth in the production documents, schedules, call sheets, everything else, in my professional opinion, I really did not see how they met any reasonable standard of care for the safety of their crew on that shoot.
Well, Mr. Samuel just said, look, Rainier, even though they didn't own the tracks, they had certainly opened the door to the crew to be on their property. The crew of the trains that did go by prior to the accident didn't call anything in. What would you say to somebody who says, look, there might very well have been some confusion on the part of the producers and the crew as to whether the answer really was no?
I think there could have been some confusion there based on lack of knowledge, lack of experience. Certainly anyone who has ever filmed on railroad property and understands what the protocols are for that. You know, we created at the AMPTP Safety Committee safety guidelines for filming on railroad property.
And the abbreviation stands for?
The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. The very first thing in that safety bulletin is you must have permission from the railroad company, and a representative of the railroad company must be on site. And that helps deal with any confusions. One thing that a lot of people wouldn't realize is that even though a railroad track may pass through your property, you do not own the railroad, you do not own the right-of-way. Certainly, one would have hoped that the folks at Rainier understood that. I can't speak to their knowledge or their experience with that. But certainly, the very first question when you're going to film in a railroad environment is to look at those safety guidelines, because not everyone's going to be an expert in that area.
We're speaking with Chris Palmer. He's a Georgia-based film and safety television consultant. You're listening to A Closer Look alongside Dennis O'Hare. I'm Rose Scott.
I'm Dennis O'Hare. This is A Closer Look, and we're continuing our conversation with Chris Palmer, a Georgia-based film and television safety consultant. This following word that all of the defendants in the case of the Midnight Rider train accident in Jessup, Georgia, today have either pled guilty or had the charges dropped. This when criminal charges were brought against them in the death of Sarah Jones, a camera assistant who was killed on the set of that movie. But Chris Palmer, let's come back here. Has this case already, even before what happened today, has it had an effect on the safety of film sets in Georgia? Because we have a whole bunch of them right now. Has this already had an effect, the fact that criminal charges could be brought against you if you don't follow the guidelines and the rules?
Well, I think it's had an effect not only in Georgia, but globally in the film industry, certainly the U.S.-based industry. We have seen over the years in production, the awareness and the concern for safety seems to sometimes ebb and flow. The tide rises and falls. With each accident that's occurred, going back to the Twilight Zone accident, which really created...
When Vic Morrow and two children were killed in the crash of a helicopter on the set of that movie. That was about 30 years ago, wasn't it?
Very close to it. That accident really sparked the formalization of safety in the film industry. You know, prior to that accident, there were no safety consultants. That accident really, I always say to people, you know, that accident kind of created my job and the job of the rest of us.
So what will this accident do?
Well, I think the impact with this is it's brought things back into the forefront where producers, directors, everyone on the set, I think that, you know, most people in this industry already have a major concern for safety. this just brought it to the forefront, and it reminded people of what can go wrong, whether intentionally or unintentionally, whether it's a lack of knowledge, a lack of experience. You know, I've always said that we can do almost anything safely in production if we have enough time, talent, and money. And when you are lacking in any of those three, what you can do safely, that box gets much, much smaller. And I think to some extent that's what's happened here, and the impact industry-wide has been now when you actually see a prosecution. The Twilight Zone case was not successfully prosecuted. The defendants were found not guilty. And I think that sent a message, either intentionally or unintentionally, around the industry that it's very difficult to successfully prosecute someone. And some people thought, well, they won't be able to ever prosecute. And that's certainly not true. And I think this case has brought that to everyone's mind.
Chris, you and Dennis were talking about the unfortunate accident with Vic Morrow, but just even a little bit recently, I mean, this was, I think, was in the 90s when Brandon Lee, the son of martial arts legend Bruce Lee, was also killed in a mishap. But you would think, though, with all of these incidents that have happened and movie and film and television, you have people like you whose job is to make sure that things like this don't happen. Moving forward now in terms of liability, particularly for small independent film productions, will this sort of make them think twice about maybe just how far they go in film production? If you have a big film production like this one, they have the money and they have the resources. But for smaller independent producers, I'm wondering what today's plea deals, what this means for moving forward for that sector of the film industry.
Well, I think that at all levels of production, that awareness has to be there. And I think there may be a misconception on some people in the industry that doing things safely is cost prohibitive. It's not. Every show, no matter how small, should at a minimum have a risk assessment conducted. This helps production to identify what those risks are and what steps need to be taken in order to help make that show safe. As an example, the cost of having a safety consultant on set is about the same as the cost of having an actor or a stunt performer, and I'm not talking an A-list actor, basically pretty close to SAG scale. And the precautions that are necessary to make things safely are rarely dramatically expensive. Now, I will say that on some of the large films I've done, X-Men and some of the James Bond pictures, our safety budgets were substantial, but that's because the actions we were taking were very substantial as well.
Let's talk about that. Let's take our listeners sort of inside. You don't have to mention the exact movie, but like, did you see something and you said, hey, wait a minute, let's stop, let's think about this? Or did you see something that was possibly a violation of industry standards, and did they agree to it? And if they don't, then what's your role then? Do you write them up, in a sense?
Well, to answer the first part of the question, yes, I have stopped or held shots on quite a number of occasions. It's very rarely necessary. Because that process starts early, where we already identify what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what the precautions are going to be. Where it has been necessary to temporarily stop something was usually because I saw that something was not going according to plan. I mean, there are cues in this business. The first AD sees that, the stunt coordinator sees that, the director sees that. But yes, there have been a couple of occasions where I've had to step in and say, now hold on. And that is something why it's important when you have a safety consultant on set who has that authority. I will never work on a project unless I have that absolute authority. And to the benefit of the production company, it should be that way, because the greatest liability, and again, I'm not speaking as an attorney, if you've been told by an expert not to do something, an attorney once told me that's prima facie evidence of negligence.
And that brings up the next question, and our time is short here, but it's a general question. So, but has the prevailing attitude been, when it comes to seeking permission, that unless we hear an absolute no, whether it's our property or not, we're just going to go on and shoot and take our chances? And is that changing because of all of this plea deal in the Sarah Jones death?
I think in the past, that attitude may have been prevalent. As safety and risk management have become more sophisticated in our industry, that attitude has diminished. Does it still exist? Yeah, I think it does. When you hear the reference to guerrilla filmmaking, That's, you know, ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is something that in our industry has got to stop, because it gets people hurt, and in this case, it got someone killed.
Will this change it?
It certainly should, and hopefully it will.
Chris Palmer is a television and film safety consultant based here in Atlanta. He's worked on film and TV sets such as X-Men, Fear Factor, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Homefront, and more. Chris, we appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.